Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bigger, more physical receiver? Yeah. That's the matchup that you want to watch for. I would be surprised if he's not out there. I really would be. Because if I'm Jalen Ramsey, like this is what I want. That's the smoke that I want. Julio Jones is a bona fide Hall of Fame receiver. I feel like I'm the best corner in the game. I mean, I've been told that I'm the best corner in the game. I want to go against the best. I want to see where I'm at. That's my measuring stick. Julio Jones will be my measuring stick. And I go into that, you know, looking for the win, but I'm ready for that loss. I'm ready for it, but I'm definitely looking for the win.
Well, Thursdays are the days that Julio Jones meets with the media, and the very first question everybody had for Jet yesterday at the Falcons facility was, what about Jalen Ramsey?
My thing is just to be ready for anything. We don't know how they're going to play us. We don't know if he's going to match me or not and things like that. I haven't played him, but I haven't thought that far past that. It's just more so about, you know, us just getting ready to go out there and just make plays, and whatever they give us, you know, we just got to take it and, you know, be successful.
You know, it is interesting. The Falcons are targeting Julio on average of 9 times a game. He has 467 yards receiving and 4 touchdowns, tied for the team leading touchdowns with Calvin Ridley. Falcons have thrown, by the way, Matt Ryan's thrown more touchdown passes than any quarterback in the NFL. I don't think some people realize that. He leads the league in touchdown passes.
Yeah, but they only got one win.
I know.
So that, you know.
Right, I know.
Yeah.
But for Julio, I mean, he's having another year, Hugh, where he stays healthy, he can have another, you know, year where he could you know, be right there among the league leaders and not lead the league in receiving again this year.
Pro Bowl year. He'd be a Pro Bowler. No question about that. Already a Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer, no doubt. Julio just does what Julio does. And that's why I say if I'm Jalen coming back and being a part of the Rams, knowing the position that they're in, if I can play, if my back's not tight, I'm out there. I mean, that Sikkim defense is not that hard. Hey, you wherever he goes, you go with him. Like, everybody else is in zone coverage. Everybody else play what you play. Jalen, you go beat Deion. Let's see how close to Deion you are in Atlanta. Let's see that. I would love for him to play. Nobody, they're kind of keeping it hush because, you know, that's gamesmanship. That's gamesmanship. You don't want anybody to know what you're going to do. But I would venture to say, if I had to put money on it, I would bet that he would play.
Now, of course, Julio had to be asked. I think the question of the day is about what's going on in that locker room after a 1-5 start.
I haven't felt that at all, like losing guys and guys don't want to practice or work out and just the small things. Like you can kind of get, you know, a whiff of things like guys not want to work out, guys don't want to do walkthrough, things like that, but it's none of that here.
Yeah, and here's something that I think that's important, and that is in all of this, the angst of 1-5, and look, all us fans, we get it. But you can see in the way they played against Arizona and the fight that they had in the second half and what they're not hanging their heads. I was just at practice yesterday. It was a spirited practice, okay? It was not a hang-your-head moment. They were out there, Hugh, and they were, you know, going. It wasn't like they were going through the motions. They were, again, that's now another loss or two, and who knows, you know, at some point. But right now, up to this point, there's not despondency there yet. They're still fighting through stuff.
Yeah, because you have no choice. You got 10 games left. You can't quit. I mean, this is a week-to-week thing. It's unfortunate that you're in the position that you're in, no question about that. And there's speculation that your coach is not going to be the coach at the end of the year. But you got to keep fighting because now you're fighting for your individual job. And that's the thing you have to remember. Oh, yeah, and I just was told that Randy McMichael calls it cat coverage. You got that cat right there. Cat coverage, yeah. And that's probably the easiest coverage to play. One-on-one, man-to-man, I got that guy. Hey, Jalen, you got that guy. That guy would be Jet, the GOAT, Julio Jones. Okay, yeah. I want to see how good I am. I want to see where my what my game is for real.
Talking about the Falcons and the Rams, listening to some of the reaction from the Falcons, from Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu. Let's flip it to the other side of the ball. Got a chance to spend a couple of minutes talking about the defense and what they expect in this game from the L.A. Rams, from Devondre Campbell, who is the team leader in tackles. And I asked him about being the team leader in tackles and how that's been able to be something where we've seen him elevate his game.
I'm just trying to take it day by day, man, not getting too far ahead of myself, staying in the moment, making sure I'm being the best player and best teammate that I can be.
Let's talk a little bit about your defense. What is it when you talk to the fans on the radio here as they're listening? I mean, there are times where your defense is obviously, you know, it's been like what, and other times where you've stepped up and made the adjustments and made the stops.
I mean, it's the game of football. Not everything gonna go your way all the time. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's here for a reason. You know, we in one of them situations where we're not playing the best right now, but we can't sit here and complain or panic. We just got to make the corrections and get back on track.
Devondre Campbell on the morning show with John and Hugh. Last year, the Colts started 1-5, then went on a tear. They went 9 out of 10. I've been hearing that from all sorts of places around here about you guys. Matt Ryan talked about it, about being able to go on that tear. Mm-hmm. If I'm sitting back as a fan, tell me the number one reason you think you can go on that tear.
We got the talent, we got the players, we got the mindset, just everything in general. And we've been in a situation before where we've had to win a lot of games late in the season to go to the playoffs. So it's not nothing new. We know what we need to do. We just got to get it done.
You know, this week on Twitter, at Came a Long Way, which is one of the great handles on Twitter. Your Twitter handle is hot. It's a must read for a lot of fans. Yeah. Obviously, there was a lot of back and forth between you and the fans.
I wouldn't say it's something I enjoy. You know what I'm saying? I am who I am on and off the field. You know, and I'm the same person on the internet that I am in real life. So what you see is what you get.
Talking with Devondre Campbell about the defense going in, let's talk a little bit about the game. Todd Gurley coming in. We expect him to play. The quad's going to be fine. How does he change that adjustment for you?
He's a big-time player in this league. We all know what he's capable of. You know, he can catch it out the backfield. He's an explosive runner when he gets in the open field. So he just brings another dimension to that team. He's somebody that we definitely going to have to keep track of.
I mean, you have to kind of note of him as opposed to, you know, just any running back in general. You'll have to kind of follow him and make sure that he stays where you could contain him.
Yeah, as a linebacker, I mean, I'm always going to be monitoring the running back, but, you know, like I said, he's one of the better ones in this league, so you definitely have to monitor him a little bit more.
Of course, Jared Goff is somebody you faced before. You faced him in the playoffs. Tell me a little bit about Jared.
Jared has gotten a lot better. You know, he's definitely got a bigger command role within the offense. McVay trusts him a lot. You know, they went to the Super Bowl, so, I mean, his resume kind of speaks for itself. He's a good player.
Yeah, he is a good player now. Mm-hmm. All right, this week the defense, and you're going out there to prove a point, win a game. How bad do you want this one?
Every game is the same, man. We can't act like this one is any different than the last one or the next one. You know, that's picking and choosing. We have to approach every game the same.
Yeah, I know some fans, thanks, Devondre Campbell. I know some fans who think, you know, Ari, you guys are the mouthpiece. You're 9-2-9 the game. John, you know, the keeper of the Kool-Aid and all that. You're just wacky thinking that this team, that this season, don't understand that this season isn't over. Look, I understand that right now at 1-5, there's virtually no chance. But that doesn't mean there is no chance. I mean, what are the odds? It's pretty slim. But, again, Indianapolis did it last year. It could happen. You know, I mean, stranger things have happened. I don't want to be sitting around here with egg on my face in 7 weeks going, you know, oh, I was saying it was over, when in fact, all of a sudden, they're right there in the thick of the chase.
Listen, I feel like I have a unique perspective because, you know, I've been in this situation before, and, you know, getting off to a rough start, turning around, and I've been off to a rough start and had to ride that thing all the way through. As a former player, you always feel like you have a chance every week, even when it's a situation where you know you're probably going to lose. And once you get to a certain point, they're not there yet, but you get to a certain point where you have to keep fighting because you're told in meetings, listen, you're playing, you don't want to put anything negative on film. You don't want to quit. You never want to quit. That's what that's beat into your head as a player. The world on the outside can think whatever they want to think. They have that right to do that, especially when you're a fan of the team. You know, you buy tickets and all that stuff. You can think whatever you want to think, but internally, you have to always believe that you have a shot. Even when you know you don't have a shot, you still have that belief. And you go out there and you bust your butt because you're busting your butt for your next potential opportunity. That's the thing. You don't know. You might not be, like, if it gets that bad, there's going to be some house cleaning. And you want to make sure one of two things. If you're one of the guys that is getting cleaned out, that you put some good stuff out there on film that the next team will take a chance on you. Or you want to be that guy that goes out there and busts your butt and the organization looks at you and says, hey, you know what? Even when it was bad, we can still count on this guy. So that's the school of thought right there. You got to be one of two guys. You have to be that guy that's going to bust his butt for the next team or bust his butt for the team you're playing for and trying to stay.
You know, we talk about the Colts doing it last year. They were 1-5, then went out 1-9 of their last 10. Alan Bailey, who came over to the team in the offseason, to the Falcons in the offseason, he was on that 2015 Kansas City Chiefs team that started 1-5 and then won 10 games in a row. So it can happen. And it's happened. It happened to Kansas City in 2015. It happened to Indianapolis in 2018. Hugh, you have such a unique perspective on 1-5. You played on both ends of the spectrum. You went to a Super Bowl, and you were also on a team that went 1-15. There are, when you were on the 1-15 team, I want you to think back. I'm not trying to bring back a bad memory.
Oh, no, you don't have to.
There are teams like Miami right now this year. They're a 1-15 team, and they know it. This Falcons team, this is not a 1-15 team. They're way too talented to be a 1-15 team.
Well, okay. Well, right now, this team is a 1-5 team, and I don't think that they have the potential to go 1-15. I don't think that's going to happen. But with all that being said, nothing has been shown to me up until this point to make me believe otherwise. I'll say that. Now, if this team goes 1-15, then, yeah, it's going to be a bloodletting, a house cleaning, whatever you call it. Coach Quinn's out of here. I don't think he's going to allow that to happen. Now, how we salvage this season, that remains to be seen. But with all this talent and all the money that you paid out, you don't get paid on sorry teams. That doesn't happen. You don't go out and you don't get, you know, your D-tackle get paid and you go out and you pay your receiver and your quarterback. That doesn't happen. So there's that. They have to figure this out. This defense has to figure it out. Starts this weekend. If it doesn't get done this weekend, the narrative for this team changes drastically next week. It does. It does. Because now, what, we're 1-6, and everything changes. Now the questions that, you know, that are being whispered in backdoor channels and you know, behind people back. Now that changes. That becomes straight conversation.
Hey, Falcons fans, you can tune to 929 The Game a couple of hours before every Falcons game for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. Harry Douglas and Paul Crane at 11 a.m. Sunday. Countdown to Kickoff brought to you by Bud Light, brewed for the Dirty Birds. Well, it is a Friday. That means we get to take our stab at picking games. You want to make some serious money on the Action Network at actionnetwork.com and bet on games? Listen to my picks and take the other side. Just saying. It's like the guaranteed way to make money. We'll pick the three biggest college and three biggest NFL games next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Your chance to make an awful lot of money is coming up right now. You do two things. You go to actionnetwork.com and sign up so that you can make bets, and then you listen to who I pick and go against that, and you're pretty much guaranteed to make a lot of money. Right? This is a pick
you
six.
You are 18-24, but 18-24. You rebounded nicely last week with a 3-3 week.
That's a big week for me. Well, I'm 1-5 with my picks on the Atlanta Falcons. I know that for a fact.
Unfortunately, most of us are.
Yeah. Well, here we go with the pick six. Six games. We picked three college games and three pro games from the week. For the college games, let's begin with interesting showdown in the Big Ten. In Happy Valley, Michigan and Penn State. What does this say about Penn State as a team and as a team that could possibly be in the mix to make the college football playoff? And what does it say about Jim Harbaugh and his club? What are you leading, Abe? Michigan and Penn State.
Yeah, Oren and I share all but one pick today. Oren and I are both going to go with Penn State. It's really interesting, as you mentioned, in the Big Ten. You've got Ohio State, we all talk about. People have now started to talk about Wisconsin, but Mike Conte's Penn State and Nittany Lions are really not being talked about in that discussion. I want to say they're ranked maybe seventh overall in the country. right behind Wisconsin. And so this is a nice proving ground moment. It's a relatively safe environment for them at home, at night. I don't know if they're doing a full whiteout, but I do enjoy when they go late night whiteout. We got Penn State taking control and doing what they do at home.
Penn State is ranked number 7 there.
Yeah.
Right.
Look at you knowing your stuff.
Right, exactly. I mean, Penn State has been, you know, a team that nobody's talking about. Everybody talks about their defense, but their average of 42 points per game. I think this Penn State team, from what I've seen, is a better football team than people realize. They're better than Michigan. They are at home. They're going to win this game. And Penn State's going to be making some noise. Everybody's pointing to the Ohio State-Wisconsin game in a couple of weeks, Hugh, in Columbus. They got to start pointing at Ohio State-Penn State again, because that could actually be the game that determines the Big Ten champion.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Penn State won the Big Ten championship their first year in the Big Ten. So, yeah, I mean, you know, just going back a little history, and I know if I'm wrong, my man Mike Conte will get me right on that because he's a Penn Stater, but yeah, they got a pretty good team. But for me, this is a tough one because there's a lot of talk about Coach Harbaugh in Michigan and whether or not he's going to be there. And, man.
Coach Bye-bye.
There's a – man. Are we picking him yet? We started pick. This, I got to pick one now.
Three of us have gone Penn State. We are waiting on you.
Sean Clifford or Shea Patterson?
I like Michigan in this one.
Falling back to the pack? One Hugh
Douglas. No, I'm just saying. I don't know, man. I just had this strange feeling. Everybody's looking at me like, you're an idiot. I don't know. I'm feeling Michigan in this one for some strange reason.
All right.
The South Carolina Gamecocks have a chance to pull off a double. They beat Georgia. Can they beat Florida and make it back-to-back for Will Muschamp against teams that he has serious ties to? Your Florida Gators go into South Carolina. They go into Columbia. Abe, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking this is going to be a fun, fun game on Saturday. Florida's going to handle this. Come on. I think if there was any doubt of Florida looking past South Carolina, they erased that with the victory over Georgia last week. I think Florida's pass rush is too good. Helinski's a little bummed up with the knee. They're going to probably, unfortunately, put him out of the game again because I think one hit to that knee is not going to be able to walk.
All right,
Florida's
so
going to handle it.
Yep,
Florida's going to handle
it. What does Oren say?
Oren's also on the Florida trailer.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Florida, too. That defense is too good, and then South Carolina's quarterbacking situation is a nightmare right now, and it's because of the Helinski injury at the end of the game. Georgia, somebody gave me the stat, and I wanted to go back to Hugh, that Georgia, how many times in the history of college football, in the overtime era of college football, has a team had, in double overtime, had the ball twice, gotten 0 points and 0 yards? Georgia got 0 yards and 0 points in two overtimes. Man. But I like Florida in this game. What are you thinking, Hugh?
Do it. Yeah, go on. Feel weird twice in a row. Go ahead.
No, I go.
You already went on there with Michigan.
Are you gonna let me finish? I always go with my gut with these. That's why I never, ever, ever look at the picks that we have, because I like to go with my initial feeling. And I'm going with Florida with this one because I like their defense. I've liked them for the last couple of weeks. Those cats that they have defensively are physical, and they get after it. So I'm liking Florida in this one as well.
Yeah, but I'll give South Carolina credit. I said before the year, the two teams, A&M and South Carolina, that played all three of those top three, Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia, and they were the two teams that one of them was going to get got. I didn't think it would be South Carolina on the road to Georgia, but it certainly happened. Army's at Georgia State tomorrow night in what could be a sold-out Georgia State stadium. The number 8 rushing attack in the nation, Georgia State. The number 10 rushing attack in the nation, Army. Speaking of Michigan, we saw Army go into Michigan this year, and if not for a missed field goal, would have beaten the Wolverines. Really good Army team against Georgia State. What are you thinking, Abe?
Yeah, this is a game where Oren and I differ. Oren is going with Army, and I understand the reasoning why. I think people have gotten a little too high on Army because of how closely they played that Michigan game. I think if you look in recent weeks, they have not performed very well. They're still running the ball, as you mentioned, number 10 in the country. But they've lost some games to some teams. If you're going to play tight with Michigan, you don't lose to certain teams. And I think coming another home game, Georgia State has been very hot. I'm going to go Georgia State. I'm taking Georgia State. Oren's going Army.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Georgia State as well. I mean, everybody looks at the Army-Michigan game. What about the Georgia State-Tennessee game? Do we forget about that?
Well, Michigan's still ranked in the top 20.
I understand, but Georgia State did go on the road and beat a big-time SEC school. I mean, and I think, everybody's going to point to Western Michigan and the debacle of the defense that day in Kalamazoo. But the game that really hurts Georgia State is that overtime, that triple overtime loss to Texas State. They need this badly. And coming off the win last week, I think they get it. I like Georgia State.
I like Georgia State as well. I like them because I want the conversation to be about Georgia State and, you know, how they could, you know, make some noise and maybe make it to a bowl game. I like that for Coach Elliott. Georgia State it is.
All right, so let's go to the NFL. Saints and Bears. Interesting game for the Swampers in Chicago against that monster in the midway defense with Teddy Bridgewater.
You've been waiting all week to see Mitch Trubisky was going to practice and therefore play, and he went in practice yesterday with that shoulder injury. So it looks like he's good to go. That was good enough, just seeing him participate in practice. That's good enough for me and Oren to go with the Bears. I think their defense is still one of the best in the NFL at home. I know the Saints have looked great with Teddy Bridgewater, but we are both going to go with the Bears in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bears too. Hugh, I think this could be – I mean, it has all the earmarks of a 7-6 game, but the Bears at home, I'm just going to ride the home team here. Say, look, I'm not taking anything away. Swampers are going to quit. Look, I just think that the Bears at home are going to be too tough for them.
I think I'm going to go with the Saints on this one.
The Ravens.
Look at Abe got official pieces of paper that he write them in on. Look at you. You're so official.
What color is that, by the way?
It's like a hot pink. Whatever was in the printer.
It's like a hot pink. Abe is so organized. I respect that about you. You're so
salmon.
Anal with it.
Yeah. Ravens and Seahawks. Abe, what are you thinking? Ravens. Now, interesting, Lamar Jackson versus Russell Wilson. Great matchup.
Yeah, essentially, winner of this game might take the lead in the MVP race. I know Russell Wilson certainly has it now, but Lamar Jackson might be number two in that discussion so far this season. It'll be interesting to see.
By the way, with Mahomes out.
With Mahomes gone, yeah. Oren and I both have the Seahawks holding serve at home, though, and taking care of the Ravens.
Right, so the Ravens and Seahawks, this is where I think I'm going to differ with some people. I think Lamar Jackson is the real deal. And, I wondered about it. You know, was it just a fluke in week one? But, no, I think that offense of the Ravens is really something. I think this is a game where I think John Harbaugh says, look, we're here. We're going to be a team to be reckoned
with.
Big
prove it game for them.
Big prove it game for them. So I'm going to take the Ravens in an upset in Seattle. Hugh?
I'm going to go with the more seasoned quarterback in Russell Wilson.
And the final one, of course, the Rams and Falcons at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, maybe.
Me and Orner are taking the Rams. We're taking the Rams.
You know what? This is the game. We've been so down on the Atlanta Falcons that this is probably going to be the game where they actually rise up and they play extremely well. And I got a feeling that that might be the case, but I'm still taking the Rams.
Well, you know how I fall on all this. I want the Falcons to win. I know there's a lot of fans out there that actually want the Falcons fans who want the Falcons to lose. But since I want the Falcons to win, given my track record, I'll take the Rams. And I'll put that kibosh on the Rams.
Yeah, that's why you're picking the Rams. Not because you want to try and come somewhere close to 500 on these picks, but because you want to reverse jinx.
What were my standings last week that my cousin picked for me?
You went with a back-to-back 5-1 week. So you're now got a two-game lead. Now,
you
Harry
mean
Douglas,
overall lead?
Harry Douglas filled in for you. He went 5-0. It was your pick that was 0-1.
Hello, Douglas. Douglas boys. I mean, we're like-minded in that situation. So it don't matter. Wait a minute. Did you say I'm in the lead?
Two-game lead over Oren, three-game lead over me. Honestly, I can't even compute how far John Fricke is behind us all. Yeah. Too much math right there. Yeah.
So that's why I put the kibosh on the Rams.
I can play a little bit with these picks that I picked. I can break even.
Don't tell me
no,
I picked
you
the
picked Michigan, so you're falling back to the
Oh, no, Michigan's going to win that game, bro.
Sweet Tea going to bring the tea because we missed some great stories, and she has them. Wild stuff. You want to hear this segment next on a Friday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Is that on a hot topic?
Yeah.
No worries. Anitra's got you covered as Sweet Tea brings the tea on Sports Radio 92.9, the game.
Yeah, because we always miss stuff in the morning show, which is why we have Tanitra to fill in all those blanks on all those stories that we, immersed in Falcons world here. How you doing, Tanitra?
How are you? Well, let's get immersed, John, in the golf world. Starting off with Brooks Koepka. I always love him. It's just his commentary is so interesting. He's so straightforward. And once again, he did not disappoint with recent comments he made about his rival or lack thereof, Rory McIlroy. So, of course, Rory McIlroy won 2019 Player of the Year. He edged Koepka out last month for that award. McIlroy beat Koepka in a player-voted contest, but like I said, he said, don't call it a rivalry. Koepka said, quote, I've been out here for, what, 5 years? Rory hasn't won a major since I've been on the PGA Tour, so I just don't view it. I know the shade. I love it. It is not a rivalry. I don't view it that way. This is what Koepka said after his defense of the CJ Cup in South Korea. I'm not looking at anybody behind me, Koepka said. I'm number one in the world. I've got an open road in front of me. I'm not looking in the rearview mirror. So, again, don't see him as a rival. Now, in all fairness, McIlroy's ranked number two in the world. Koepka sits at number one. McIlroy's last major win was the 2014 PGA Championship. Koepka, of course, most recently won the 2018 PGA Championship. They both do have four majors, but in his defense, McIlroy is more consistent across all PGA Tour competitions, finishing 2019 with the lowest scoring average of any golfer, but Koepka finished in the top four in all majors last year. So, rivalry?
It's a little bit of a rivalry. But for him to be as shady as he was and said the way that he did, see, that's where, for me, like, my childishness would probably come into play and say something real slick, like, you know, but I might not be a rival, but I will punch you in the face or something like that. And that's okay. Not the way you handle things. That's not the way
adults
handle things.
But couldn't you see Brooks Koepka kind of saying that all below? Yeah, because it's
like seriously, that's being shady. You're being real shady when saying that. You could have just been saying, hey, man, you know, we've been in a lot of tournaments together and you know, it's been a highly contested affair. He's a good dude. But no, you want to throw shit. Oh, he ain't even on my level. Okay?
Right.
Basically, that's what you're saying. He ain't even on my level.
Well, you know, he ain't wrong about that right now, the way he's playing. Koepka's the number one player in the world by long, long margin here. But if it wasn't a rivalry before, it may be now.
Exactly.
And by the way, I don't know what it is about Brooks Koepka. I would really like to meet him and talk to him because I can't stand him.
Most don't
him. And so I want to know, is he a likable guy?
Yeah.
I mean, he's like robotic. I don't practice. I'm the number one player in the world. I mean, it's just his tune is like, I don't know. But I'd like to get to know him. I mean, yeah. I don't know the guy.
Just to see what's really behind it. I tell you, it's just always funny to me the amount of shade he throws. But it's always good when you can back up all that shade, and we know that he can. So keeping it on the golf course, a former LPGA player got a quick lesson on rules changes this week. Via 58, John, 58, Hugh, penalty strokes.
58?
58.
How do you get 58 penalty strokes?
Exactly. So
this is like 10 cup times 1,000?
Yeah, essentially. So Leanne Walker, who hasn't played full-time on the LPGA Tour since 08, returned to competitive golf this week at the Senior LPGA Championship. Now, naturally, a lot of rules have changed in the last decade plus, but Walker didn't bother looking up those changes. She just used her caddy over and over and over again to line her up on the putting surface, not realizing that's a two-stroke penalty.
That. Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Right, as of earlier this year. So her playing partners finally informed her of the infraction after starting the second round, so they just let this lady wallow in this for a round, having already racked up those 50 penalty strokes by then. And she says, now that I don't play the LPGA anymore, I don't watch golf. I knew there were rules changes, but just honestly, I didn't know. I'm just plain and simple. My stupidity, my bad for not going over the rules.
Yeah, you know what, though? I mean, it would have been a better story if she had like, hit 15 straight balls into the water on number 74. You know, I mean, where'd you get out of that hole? 63.
Right.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, you need to read up on the rules if they've changed that much, though.
Right, in over a decade, exactly. Yeah, and yes, producer Abe, Captain Obvious, she did not make the cut. Okay, so.
That's Abe for you.
So we got, coming off of our Wednesday story about the Saints and the Pope and maybe him giving them a little love sideways, there's a church in Kansas City that wants to send some love and prayers the way of Patrick Mahomes. So they're starting things with a message on their billboard outside of the Asbury United Methodist Church in Kansas City. And it says very simply, Dear Jesus, please save Patrick Mahomes' ankle. And they're going to, of course, add to that and kneecap. Mm-hmm. But that's the message going down at that church where the KC faithful are begging the Lord Jesus, to heal up their franchise QB after, of course, they had two straight losses before last night's win against Denver and now dealing with that dislocated right kneecap. So they're planning a healing service on Sunday morning at this church. And they say, hey, we kind of thought that they may need some type of help. That's what they told the local Fox affiliate. We knew that his ankle was injured and, of course, now the kneecap. So we decided to possibly have this healing service to help him heal quicker. They're even advertising the prayer service, like I said, on the sign outside the building, hoping to recruit some extra parishioners to help out. And you know what? I can't be mad at them because when you lose an MVP quarterback like Pat Mahomes, I might be doing some extra prayers.
Yeah, not only that, you're talking about you're like a play away from going to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And now your quarterback is hurt.
Yes.
Yeah, you're trying to get divine intervention. And hopefully everybody's on the right side of that whole lower thing. And man, you want everything you can to get that quarterback right.
Yeah.
Or get somebody that's going to come in and help you right this ship until he gets healthy.
Yeah, you might want to say that, like, dear Jesus, if not Pat Mahomes, can you please send us
Father God
the right person that'll keep us in contention?
Can you
for the
please
playoffs?
Give us a backup quarterback
in the
that
game.
Is, you know, that can
but
help?
But I'm never mad at sports fans who are always trying to do extra
do
for the sake of their
do.
Team.
Yeah, and matter of fact, I just looked it up. So, who did the Chiefs play? The Packers, the Vikings, the Titans.
And so that blows away Abe and I's conversation earlier this morning about what it might look like based on the time frame that Pat Mahomes is going to be out versus
Rico.
Versus who they're going to have to play. So you might want to send up more than just that one prayer service and that one healing service on Sunday. You might want to start that now and just keep that going. Get on a fast and do all that stuff in KC for your boy.
She is the news whiz and sweet tea to Nitra Radice. Thanks. Do
call him. Call Tyrone.
All right, this is not really the music we should be using for this promo here, but we'll do it anyway. Wrong kind of music. A&B Sports and Entertainment to bring it together. Like, you got some Brothers Osborne you could, like, switch me to here, just so that we get the right tempo. I was just saying. A&B Sports and Entertainment bringing together the biggest country music artists for one weekend to create ATL Live, Mercedes-Benz Stadium's inaugural concert series. This is... It's country slow jazz. Friday, November 15th, Sunday, November 17th, Friday the 15th, Keith Urban, Blake Shelton, Sugarland, Sam Hunt. Sunday the 17th, Eric Church, Luke Combs, Brothers Osborne. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com for as low as $39 to go see these big stars at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's country music. When we get back in a moment, the Ryan Report, what Matt Ryan said to Dave Archer as we continue with John and you on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.